The ANU's decision last year to divest its investments in fossil fuel companies was met with anger from mining companies and labelled reckless by the Assistant Minister for Infrastructure and Regional Development, Jamie Briggs. Since then, the global divestment movement has only gathered steam. Universities, religious organisations and local governments have jointly divested around $50 billion and reinvested in renewable energy technology. One of the major private funds to stop investing in coal is the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, whose board decided it was simply wrong to continue down the fossil fuels path. Valerie Rockefeller-Wayne is a trustee and chair of that fund. She's speaking here with James Carlton.
I am speaking with you today as the chair of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, which is a foundation set up, you know, using Rockefeller money, which is the ironic part of it, because that money came from oil. My great-great-grandfather was in the business. So we think for us personally, there's even more of a reason to use the approach that he would have in his business, which is looking at science and looking to the future, to think, what do we have to do to save our planet? And we've been doing grant making and sustainable development since the 1980s. It's sort of philanthropy, sort of the family business now. So for us, it just made sense to align our investing with our grant making. And there's a moral obligation to future generations, and there's also a moral obligation to the Global South and to people who are suffering from the effects of climate change.
You think if John D. Rockefeller were alive today, he would be supporting what you're doing?
I'm certain of it. When he came into the business, we were getting oil from whales, which sounds preposterous now, but it was a massive breakthrough then to think of getting oil from the ground. And so using the same logic that had him get into fossil fuels, I think he would be looking at the future, which is that, you know, the growth of clean energy is amazing right now. And also there's real financial risk in staying invested in fossil fuels. We do not want to lose money. We have given to our investors the mandate to maintain the purchasing power of our endowment because we think we do really good grant making, and we certainly want to be able to continue funding that. And we think that fossil fuels are an increasingly risky investment. I mean, we have pulled out almost entirely. It's a complicated process that we're doing very carefully and thoughtfully and transparently. But we're almost entirely out of coal, which is the dirtiest. It's only 40% of the energy in the world, but it's 70 to 80% of the CO2 emissions. So we've pulled out of that and also out of tar sands, coming primarily from Canada, and we're looking to pull out our money so then we also have more money to put into alternative investments, which are going to be in clean energy and other things where there is not this risk.
Sure, and the HSBC Bank, for instance, has said that if indeed the world moves to meet its 2-degree target, then the valuations of many fossil fuel companies would fall by more than half. So that being the case, why divest when market forces would divest themselves on a scale more than even the Rockefellers could achieve?
We're hoping to work in tandem with those market forces. But the really exciting part, we also want to reinvest in clean energy, and that we have to move very quickly with this. I mean, if we're really going to cut our carbon emissions to the degree we need to by 2050 to stay at under 2 degrees Celsius rise, we have to all work together to do this quickly.
And is there actual evidence that divestment speeds up the process?
Absolutely. Right now, there's been a study of all the of divestment movements in the past, and this is the fastest growing one. And there are a lot of people who've really carefully studied the divestment movement from South Africa because that was really effective, and we have Desmond Tutu, who has been an incredibly powerful spokesperson for this movement as well, just showing the effectiveness of these kinds of movements. And even if there's a moral case to do it, but again, if people are going to their financial advisors and saying, well, it's a little bit scary that we're so heavily invested in these coal companies when they're not even, you know, pouring hundreds of billions of dollars into exploration of resources that they're not even going to be able to dig up. And so this stranded asset question is a real risk financially. And the more people that are asking those kind of questions, and the more organizations or universities like Australian National University and now Sydney University that are doing this, the movement gains momentum.
And yet coal companies, got BHP, Rio Tinto, just to name a few so familiar to Australia, they would have no trouble capital raising. They have such extraordinary cash flows that surely any efforts you make would be symbolic.
You start with a symbolic gesture because you have to lead with your morals and your principles. And then you also build the financial case for doing it, because the more of us that are really looking into alternative investments and who are doing really tough due diligence on those investments, we are just then shifting capital into people who are trying to produce energy and successfully producing energy. I mean, the costs for solar have gone way down. And, you know, China right now is the biggest investor in the world in renewables, and I think we need to keep up. Australia does, and the United States does. And the commitments are being made at the national level. There's a lot of momentum from the People's Climate March, which is a real diverse global experience, which I shared with my children back in September. And this momentum is building, and it is just increasingly risky to not be willing to make this sort of important gesture for our future.
Is the key target to reach the big pension funds, which have so many billions to invest in one area or another?
Absolutely. That's one of the goals. I mean, what I think the partners of ours, like 350.org, which is very active in Australia, is to broaden the movement and to show that everyone can come into it. And so we are, you know, talking with individual investors as much as we are talking with pension funds. And, of course, it would be enormous if they got involved. And I think there's credibility to the movement. I mean, with Mark Carney, who's the governor of the Bank of England, he has said that the vast majority of fossil fuel reserves are unburnable. The former CEO of BP, Lord Brown, he has said that the energy and mining companies are ignoring an existential threat, he called it. So pensions, all of us should be listening to those sort of warnings.
Valerie Rockefeller-Wayne is a trustee and chair of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. She was speaking there with James Carlton.